I once heard from Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, I believe the Rebbe of Meir Simcha. Is he a Rebbe? I once heard from Meir Twersky Shlita a story of a young yeshiva bacher who went to ask Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung Zatzal a question. You know what Rav Hirschsprung was? Rav Hirschsprung was a Rav in Montreal who had a photographic memory. He was, he was able to do the pin test, where they stick the pin through the Gemara and he can tell you what word it went through in every page. When Rav Shechter published Eretz HaTzvi, he for Askama, or Big Fiatzon, remember, maybe both, who does Rav Shechter go to for Askama? Where's Rav Shechter going to find someone bigger? Normally when you write a Sefer, so he went to Rav Hirschsprung. Rav Hirschsprung wrote the Askama to his farm. So Rav Hirschsprung was a remarkable genius. He had Kol HaTorah Kula at his fingertips. So Rav Twersky said that a young yeshiva bacher asked Rav Hirschsprung a question, and Rav Hirschsprung thought for a second. He said, "I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know." So the smile on the boy's face when he heard Rav Hirschsprung say that he asked the question that Rav Hirschsprung didn't know the answer to, like, it couldn't be described, the kind of smile that this kid had. His question was so good that Rav Hirschsprung didn't know the answer. So the kid was thinking, I don't know the answer to my question, and Rav Hirschsprung doesn't know the answer to the question. So me and Rav Hirschsprung were like the same as far as this question goes. We both don't know the answer. So Rav Hirschsprung realized the smirk on the kid's face, and Rav Hirschsprung said to him, it's cute. Rav Hirschsprung said to someone else after the kid walked away, it's kind of cute. He thinks that his I don't know is the same as my I don't know. Meaning, there are often different levels of not knowing something. I've had the opportunity to ask Mori Rabbi many questions, and he often says, I don't know. But when I press him, I'll find that his I don't know is a very different I don't know than my I don't know. Meaning, I don't get pshat in Tosos because I can't read Hebrew. I don't know what those words say. And then there's an I don't get pshat in Tosos because I could translate every single word, but I realize that this Tosos is against enough in the Tosos and Me'ila. So how does it make sense? Wow. They're both I don't know. But the words I don't know can mean very different things. To take an example from Rotorsky, when somebody experiences, let's say, a terrible tragedy, we often say that we don't know the ways of God, and that's obviously true. But it's also very unsatisfying for someone who's suffering and trying to come to grips with a loss to just say, I don't know. So on the other end, if you tell a person that our parenting philosophy, let's say, is going to be that we're not going to do anything to our children that they can't fully comprehend. If they can't understand why we're doing it, well, then we're not going to force them to do it. That would be the worst parents ever. That would be abuse. Such parents would be arrested. Why? They would never, ever take their kid to a dentist. Because he can't understand why he has to go through so much pain in the dentist chair. He's not old enough to understand why it's necessary. They would never get their kids vaccinated. Because they can't understand why they have to go through the pain of shots. So is that good parenting? That's horrible parenting. Obviously, we can all understand that's terrible parenting. It's cruel. So if Hashem is our parent, and he enjoys a greater perspective than we do, isn't it possible that as a good parent, he has to do things to us that are somewhat painful and somewhat difficult? So at the end of the day, the answer is still, we don't know. Right? Why does Hashem do this to us? But now, given that little bit of insight, our I don't know has just been raised a level. Meaning, Nebuch, a person suffering, I don't know. That's very unsatisfying. Nebuch, a person suffering, realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is your parent. And just like you as a parent would vaccinate your children, just like you as a parent would take your child to the dentist, even though he's not really able to understand why it's so necessary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that this is necessary for us, and we don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt it's so necessary for us. I still don't know, but that's a little bit of more satisfying I don't know. Now I don't know, and I feel like I'm connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an I don't know kind of way. There are certain topics, like Parah Aduma, where no matter how much we analyze, in the end of the day, we're going to get to a point where we have to say, I don't know. Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti Echma V'Hiruchoka Mimeni, I can't understand Parah Aduma. Our job, when it comes to studying this kind of halacha, a chok, is to make sure that our I don't know at the end is a Rav Hirschsprung I don't know, and not a simple I don't know, not a yeshiva bacher I don't know. There's another chok, Chukas HaPesach. Chukas HaPesach means, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a chok. We're not really going to fully understand the magnitude and the idea of Korban Pesach. We spend an entire night, the night of the Seder, working toward the goal of making our I don't know become a Rav Hirschsprung I don't know and not a Yeshiva Bachar I don't know. So all that is an introduction. So now let's take a look at Chukas HaParah. And let's try to turn our I don't know about what Parah Aduma is all about from a Yeshiva Bachar I don't know to a Rav Hirschsprung I don't know. Rashi begins to give a reason for Parah Aduma in the name of Rav Moshe Adarshan. And he explains what's the reason for Parah Aduma, because Klal Yisrael did a terrible thing called Cheta Egel. So Tavo Imo Tekaneach Al Bana. Let the mother come and clean up after the child. The Egel is a baby cow. Mommy cow comes and cleans up after the baby because the baby makes a mess. So it's a Mechaper. What's the connection between the two? What does Cheta Egel have to do with the part of the... I get it. Cows, same animal. Guess what? The Egel wasn't really a cow. It was a piece of gold. It was just shaped like a cow. What's the connection between the Egel and the Parah Aduma? Why would that be the kapara for that? Question number two. The pasuk at the end of the parasha says, Adam ki yamos ba ohel. Gemara and brachos tav samach gimel darshins. Ein divrei Torah miskaimin ela b'misha meimis atzmo alehel. Ohel means in a base medrash. That a person kills himself in the Beis Medrash. What does it mean, he kills himself in the Beis Medrash? That Divrei Torah work and survive when a person is willing to push himself and work. A person comes to the Beis Medrash and says, inspire me, Rabbi. Well, he's never going to be a Talmud Chacham. A person has to put his kochos into it. He has to kill himself over it. And he has to read a Gemara and not understand it. Read it a second time and not understand it. And a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. Finally break through. Wait, I get that word. How does it connect to that word? And over time, break through by killing himself, by racking his brain. Meimis atzmo aleha. Beautiful drasha. What's troubling, though, is the end of the pasuk. If that's what the pasuk is talking about, Adam ki yamos ba'ohel, a person should kill himself in the ohel of Torah. Pasuk says, kol ha'ba'al ha'ohel v'kol asher ba'ohel yitma shavas yamin. Everything else in the ohel becomes tameh for 7 days. What? When I'm working in the Beis Medrash, everything else in the ohel is becoming tameh for 7 days? Well, what's that about? How does that connect to Talmud Torah? Third question. There are only three, don't worry. Gemara Chagiga Daf Gimel says that on the Shabbos that Rabbi Lazar, Sugyan Brachas, that they used to take turns, on the Shabbos that Rabbi Lazar had his turn to darshan, in the shul, or in the yeshiva, he made the following drasha. He said, when it comes to the mitzvah of hakel, we understand why the adults come to hakel. They read from the Torah, the melech reads from the Torah, the adults come and they hear the divrei Torah. Fantastic. It's a big yarche kala. He enjoys it. The adults are going to enjoy it very much. But asks Rabbi Lazar, why do the children come? So Rabbi Lazar answers, "Kedelitein schar lemivi ehem." The children come so that the parents can get schar for bringing them. So the Mechilta adds a comment to that line in the Gemara. The Mechilta just adds, "Ashrecha Avram Avinu Shor Blazer Ben Azaria Yatzam Michalatzecha." How fortunate are you, Avram Avinu, that you had a descendant like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah who said such a beautiful drasha. Now don't get me wrong. Nice drasha. But like of all the things Avram Avinu is up there taking pride in, why is it this drasha? What is it about this drasha that Avram is so proud of this drasha? Rav Betzalel Rudinsky in the Sefer Mishkan Betzalel explains that the sin of the Egel didn't happen out of nowhere. A sin like that, of that magnitude, doesn't happen out of the blue. A lot of times, when people try to diagnose their problems, like, why do I struggle so much? So people often have a very short-sighted view. Meaning, what did they do wrong? They threw the jewelry into the fire, and there was an Egel, and they worshipped it. The sin happened before then. Meaning, the seeds for the sin must have been put down way before that. What was the fertile ground that allowed for such an Avera to happen? The idea that there will be an Erev Rav who will try to do terrible things, and that there are always Rishayim in every generation, it wasn't only then, it happens in every generation. There are always Rishayim, there are always bad guys. There are always bad guys in every generation. What made the Dor Deya, the Dor Amidbar, so susceptible to committing a Cheta Egel? So Rudinsky explains that there was a basic breakdown in the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Now, what do we mean by that? doesn't mean that Jews weren't getting along. Getting along is not the definition of achdus. The definition of achdus we were discussing last night has a lot to do with the requirement to love and care for our fellow Jews. Sometimes I get along. I could be very polite to my neighbor. Do I care if he has a job or doesn't have a job? Do I care if he's healthy or not? I don't care. I'll still say good morning to him when I pass by. That's not achdus. Achdus means that I care about someone else's physical and spiritual well-being. I want everything for him that I would want for myself. That's the definition of achdus, and that's what we lacked. When each person is in his own little corner doing his own little thing and is tolerant of other people's behaviors, no matter how wrong they are, that's not achdus. You can do what you do, I'll do it, live and let live. That's not achdus. The call of the Egel was Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Shouldn't it be Eila Eloheinu or Elohai? What's Eila Elohecha Yisrael? Oh, look, Klal Yisrael, these are your gods. Says Rabbi Radinsky, maybe what they were saying is even those who didn't really believe in it were saying, okay, you want to worship that? Go worship that. Don't skin off my back. I'm going to go to the base marriage, I'm going to learn. But you do your thing. It's a fundamental breakdown of achdus. The kapara is the para aduma. How's para aduma kapara? What's the part of para aduma that's so perplexing and so difficult to understand? That it's metaher es hatameim u'metameh es hatahorim. The same thing causes someone who is tameh to become tahar and someone who was tahar previously to become tameh. Which means that if I want to help you, if a person is tameh mace and I want to help you, I want to help you get out of that tumah, I have to fall on the sword. I have to experience tumah myself. The only way for me to help you is by becoming tameh myself. How much do I have to care about you to be willing to sacrifice my own purity in order to ensure your purity? So para aduma comes and is mechaper for the chere egel. Maybe that's why Chazal described the notion of being mechanich the children in terms of a cow and a calf. Yoser mimasha rotza ha'egelino kapora rotza lahanik, Chazal say. More than the calf wants to suck from the mother's milk, the cow wants to expel the milk. A Jew has a burning desire to give and to help. It pains a Jew when someone else is hungry, when someone else is suffering. It pains the mother to not feed the child, even though the child rearing is not easy. It's challenging and it's difficult and it's expensive. Rav Tursky told the story of Chaim Soloveitchik, how Rav Chaim was, I believe, on his kever, it says, that it doesn't say any fancy titles. If Rav Chaim was living today, they wouldn't have enough room on any tombstone to put all the titles that he deserves. Rav Shachter often comments that it used to be that on the bottom of a ksuba, he said his father's ksuba, and Rav Melech Shachter got married, so it said, Dov, whatever, Ben, whoever it was, I think Rabbi Dov Revel was one of the Eidei Kedushin, and the other one was Moshe Ben Chaim Halevi. Moshe Ben Chaim Halevi. That was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That was it. That's all it said. It didn't say, Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agola, Hagon, Hador, Adah. He said they used to be, they would sign next to each other. Now you need a line for each aid because you've got to fill in the whole line with all of his titles. Rav Chaim, it says, of all the titles that he wanted on his tombstone, it says, anyone know? Rav Chesed, I believe it says. That he was a Baal Chesed. We know Rav Chaim for his genius. He was a Baal Chesed. What does it mean he was a Baal Chesed? Rav Tursky tells the story of his great-great-grandfather, of Rav Chaim. And he says that when Rav Chaim got married, his wife's grandfather, the Netziv, bought them a cow for a wedding present. Now it would be like a good prank to like buy someone a cow for a wedding present. But like then it was serious. Like he bought him a cow for a wedding present. Because you can always have milk if you have a cow. Rav Chaim would never keep anything for himself, though. If there was an ani, right away, he would just give everything away. So it's like when one of my talmidim asked me, one of my talmidim got married and Rav Shechter was Masada Kedushin, he said, what should I give Rav Shechter for being Masada Kedushin? Like how much money or what kind of gift should I give him? So I asked Shai, Rav Shai Shechter, I said, what's the standard? What do you give your father? He said, don't give him money. He's just going to give it all away. He's not going to keep it. It's all going to go to tzedakah. Buy him a masifta or something. You know, buy him a sefer. You know, he likes the masiftas. Buy him the masifta or whatever masechta yeshiva is learning next year, and he'll be very happy with it. But don't bother giving it. He's just going to give it all away. That's what Reb Chaim was. Reb Shef told me once he gives more than 50% of his money to tzedakah. He let it slip. It's against the halacha. But he said a nashir muflag is allowed to. So he says, I'm a nashir muflag, living in an apartment in Washington Heights without a car. So you know, Reb Chaim just gave everything away. So Reb Chaim's wife complained to her grandfather, you gave us this cow, we had all this milk, and my husband just gave it away. So Reb Tversky said, the Netziv, in a move that perhaps, the way Reb Tversky said it, was perhaps the only time that Reb Chaim was ever outsmarted in his entire life, the Netziv bought another cow, and he said, this is not for you, this is my cow. I am appointing you a shomer on this cow. It is your responsibility to guard this cow, to watch this cow, and you're allowed to have all the milk. You're a shomer sacher, the schar is you're allowed to have all the milk that comes from the cow. But it is your cow. So you might have given all the milk away, I don't know, but at least he couldn't give the cow away. But that's what it means to have achdus. That's what it means to be a Rav Chesed. To be someone who's genuinely so concerned about someone else that you want for them whatever you would want for yourself. So that might be the explanation of the pasuk about Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel. When a person is Memis Atzmo, he'll be able to achieve in Torah, but there's more than that. It's Kalaboel O'el V'chalasher Ba'ol Yitmashivas Yamim. It's not enough for him to be concerned about his own achievement. He has to be cognizant of everything else that is in his Ohel. What would be wrong with a guy deciding that, you know what, instead of coming tonight, I'm just gonna go learn in a corner somewhere in the bunk or whatever. I'm going to go learn somewhere else on my own. I'm going to grow that way. I'm going to be learning. Because every voice of a kol Torah in a Beis Medrash creates an atmosphere. And that affects everybody. And that first night when there's a night seder and the kol Torah is so loud that we don't even hear the hypnotist in the neighboring room because we have such a kol Torah going on here, well, that's because everybody's contributing to that. But if everyone's off in their own corner and you have like five guys left here, well, then you hear everything and then it ruins the whole atmosphere of the Beis Medrash. Creating that atmosphere of a kol Torah, of a, you know, we often think, whether I come, I don't come, that's just me, it only affects me. It's not true. It affects the whole avira, it affects everybody. When there's an atmosphere of a desire to grow, a desire to learn, that affects everybody. The greatest bracha for Avram Avinu is to have Reb Lazar emerge from him. Avram dedicated his entire life, he's the Amud HaChesed of the Avos. It's all about caring and concern for others. So he's particularly proud of the drasha about bringing children for Hakel. Why? You don't have children yet, again, as far as I know. But I do. And I can tell you that when you have to bring children somewhere, especially if it's in an environment of ruchnius that you want to gain something from, it can get really annoying. Because it's hard to daven when your kid needs attention. It's hard to hear a shir, or you know, when you need to make sure that your kid has what he needs and that he's not going to scream and he's not going to cry. So it's annoying. You're giving up a little bit of yourself. You're giving up your own opportunity for ruchnius on a certain level. Comes along Reb Lazar and he makes a drasha, la vischar lemeviyehem, that the children should be brought for the experience of hakel. They should experience that ruchnius. Because they're experiencing that ruchnius, it's not going to be the same for the parents. It's going to be great for the kids, but it's not going to be the same for the parents. You know who's proud of that? Avram Avinu, the Amud HaChesed, is proud of that. That a person is not only concerned about himself, but is concerned about everything that's going on around him and everybody that is around him. We should be aware of the fact, the reason we're in this room for this summer, and we're not in the better room, which we all acknowledge is a much better room for us to be in. Classroom 6 downstairs. This room doesn't have windows. That room doesn't have windows. No nafkamina with that. It's a bigger room. The air conditioning is better. It's because Rabbi Brazil wanted us to be cognizant of the fact that there is a camp around us. And to be an inspiration for the camp that's around us. The reason this program exists is because having B'nai Torah, who are B'nai Aliyah, who are growing, changes the entire atmosphere of a camp. And it's going to work. It has worked, and it will continue to work. But it will work better when we realize, if we internalize the idea that we're not just here for ourselves, we're here for all of Klal Yisrael, obviously for all of camp, but for all of Klal Yisrael. And that's the message of the I don't know, that's the I don't know we come away with from Parah Aduma, which hopefully now is a Rav Hirschsprung I don't know and not a Yeshiva Bachar I don't know.